Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Socially Speaking. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first up this morning is Monday Morning Focus, and this morning, inshallah, we focus on encouraging good behavior by praising your child. Now, we'll look at a few important points and we'll share them with you, inshallah, as we go along. We'll look at how words can actually change your child's behavior. Some behaviors that praise can actually help with, and then also how to incorporate praise into your discipline plan. So a few important things that we as parents should know, inshallah. And that will be followed by drug talk with Sister Nazia Saliji from the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here from Johannesburg in Lanesia. And Sister Nazia, of course, is the Outreach Program Coordinator. Today we're discussing something very important. Once again, synthetic dacha. That's a drug that's been making its rounds among the youth. It's also known as K2 Spice. And also joining us in the studio today is Kian, who is a volunteer. And he's going to be looking in. Maybe we'll get him to say something. I'm not sure about that, but hopefully a little later we'll see about that. Anyway, Kian is here just to sit in and watch and listen to our program, inshallah. Okay, so let's get back to Monday Morning Focus. Now, do we praise our children enough? Or don't we praise them? Or are we always so quick to yell at them for, you know, anything that they do wrong? Do we even notice the good things that they do? Did you know that what you say to your child can change your child's behavior? So today, hopefully, inshallah, we're focusing on how to use praise to encourage good behaviors. And, you know, just those words that we use to on our children, the words that we use can actually change your child's behavior. You know, I know it's not easy because, you know, when you are angry and when your child is misbehaving, the last thing on your mind is, you know, let me think about it. Let me see how I can, you know, how I can talk to the child. I think we don't think that way. That we just yell at them. It's easier, but that's not actually the way we should be doing it. Now, praise is a simple but effective discipline strategy that increases good behavior. Now, if you take the time, you know, take time out when, you know, just to point out when your child is following the rules or telling him that you appreciate his listening to you will actually motivate him to keep up the good work. Now, like I said, we don't take that time. That is the problem with us. We don't take the time to, you know, think as, you know, what am I going to say this, tell this child that is misbehaving right now. Now, let's just look at some of the negative and positive attentions now, or rather the positive versus the negative attention. Imagine standing in a room with three children, and two of these children are playing quietly with their toys. The one child is running around wildly, jumping on the furniture and screeching and screaming, which normally is the case if you have a few siblings, you know, running around in the house or playing around in the house. Now, which child would be most likely to get your attention? Obviously, you're not going to be looking at those two that are quietly playing. You're going to be screaming and yelling and shouting at that little one that's running around that is misbehaving. So he's going to be getting most of the attention. However, you know, you praise the children who were behaving, and you could change the entire situation saying, I mean, rather the ones that are misbehaving. You can actually say, or rather to the ones, sorry, that are behaving, now you must just tell them that, you know, I really love the way you are sitting there quietly playing. In fact, what you are now doing is you're using some kind of psychology on the one that is actually running around and making musty, being naughty. And you'll be surprised that you can actually motivate that child. By saying this to the children that are actually quiet and behaving, you are actually motivating the one that is being naughty. And maybe he will actually listen and think, you know, okay, mom is praising those because they are quiet, so maybe if I'm also quiet and, you know, play nicely, she'll she'll enjoy me also, and she'll give me the good praise as well. So that's how it works. But it's easy to let good behaviors often go unnoticed. But when kids aren't getting attention, they'll often do whatever it takes to get noticed. And sometimes that means misbehaving. So when you give your child positive attention for good behavior, he'll be less likely to act out. So, you know, sometimes, we do it. We sometimes overlook the children that are behaving. So you don't tell them anything. Okay, fine, they're behaving, that's good. But we'll just be concentrating on the one that is not behaving. But sometimes it's a good idea to always, you know, just praise those that are behaving as well. You'll be amazed at how you can actually influence the ones that are not behaving. Now, let's just look at some of the behaviors, you know, just certain behaviors where praise can help with. They say praise can encourage a variety of good behaviors. When you see your child is being good and you point it out to them, positive reinforcement will encourage it to continue. So let's look at just a few specific behaviors that can be especially responsive to praise. The first one we're looking at is pro-social behavior. Now, what this means is that you need to praise your child for sharing, taking turns, using kind words, and getting along well with others. So, you know, when they do this, you need to actually praise them. You know, make them feel that, you know, you praise them. Make them feel good about what they are actually doing. Then we go on to the next one is compliance, that is listening to you. Once again, you need to praise your child for following the rules and listening to your instructions. Remember to pay attention when your child is playing quietly or entertaining himself. So when they actually do this, you know, I think what we do, we're so happy they are quiet and they are not troubling us, or they're not, interfering with something, or they're not busy doing something wrong, that we forget to actually say thank you. You know, thank you and praise them and, you know, that you are actually listening to me. I really, you know, I'm so happy that you are listening to me. I'm so happy that you are playing quietly. So do that. It's so important for us to do that. Also, another one is when they put in effort. When your child is learning a new skill, perhaps, or, you know, it's important for you to praise and encourage him to keep trying. For example, if you praise your child for his willingness to try hard, or his ability to be patient as he learns, you'll increase his motivation to keep trying. So that, I think, is so important. You know, if you see a child putting in that effort to do something, it's important for you to praise him and, you know, keep on praising him. This will motivate him, inshallah, to do even better. Now, praise and positive attention are healthy when it's given appropriately. And again, let's look at some ways to make your praise particularly effective in encouraging good behavior. Number one is you need to offer immediate and frequent feedback. What does that mean? Offer frequent feedback, or frequent praise for that matter, if your child is playing quietly for an extended period of time, or if he's working hard on a project for a whole afternoon. So you need to, when you see the child doing this, you need to immediately, praise the child. Then make praise specific. Now, what does this mean? Instead of saying good job or say great job, what you need to actually say, you know, good job sounds okay, it's a good job. But if you make it sound even better than a good job, then you say it's a great job putting your place in this, your plate, for example, in the sink right when I asked you to do it. And another, this will actually make it clear that you are praising his immediate compliance. That means he's listening to you, so you immediately, when you tell him do something and they do it immediately, then you need to praise them and make it sound like the best thing ever that you've done. Then another one is to frame your praise with praise positively. Now they say, instead of saying nice job, not whining, what you need to say is, I'm proud of you for staying calm when I said that you couldn't go outside. Now, don't say, you know, I may have told you, you may have told the child, stop whining. So don't elaborate on the whining, in other words. When they stop whining or they're not doing what you want them not to do, then you say, you know, I'm happy that you are staying calm when I said that you couldn't go outside. Point out the behaviors you want to see more of, not the behaviors you hope to diminish, the ones you don't want them to do again. So never mix praise with criticism or it'll lose its effectiveness. So in other words, if they're doing something bad, don't carry on reminding them about that. Even if you are praising them, just cut out that ugliness that they are doing. Don't mention it to them, but mention the good that they are doing. Praise the effort, not the outcome. Praise can build healthy self-esteem when you use it to point out your child's effort. Rather than praise your child for getting 100% in whatever exam they wrote, but praise his willingness to study for the test. So that 100% mustn't be, you know, you got 100% for English and 100% for maths or 100% for Quran. No, no. Don't worry about how much he got, but worry about the amount of effort he put into getting that 100%. And of course, when you offer praise, it needs to be genuine. Rather than say you're the smartest kid ever, or you're the best soccer player in the whole world, or in the whole school for that matter, you know, offer realistic praise. Say things like, you're a good runner, or you do a great job of getting your homework done. So, you know, don't over exaggerate and make the child, you know, these things can actually go to their heads and then they feel there's the best, we're the best, there's nobody like us. It does affect the child. You know, what you say to them certainly does affect them in some way or the other. So we need to be careful how we talk to them and what we say to them. You don't want the child to be thinking, okay, there's no, and they will tell it. You know, if you see a child, if you've been telling the child, I'm the best, you're the best, there's nobody like you in the world, that child is going to repeat it and, you know, he's going to think, well, I am the best and there is nobody like me. You can't be as good as me. So you don't want that to happen to your child. And then another and the last one is to avoid labels. Now, labels, even when they're positive, aren't a good idea. Referring to your child as you're a little genius or you're a soccer star, and we do it all the time. We're all guilty of it. We do it. You know, I think it's just that we don't realize what we're actually telling our children. This may cause your child to think that that's all he's known for. And so you focus your praise on his behavior, not his traits. And finally, you can prevent a lot of misbehavior by catching your child being good. But when your child breaks the rules, it's also important to provide negative consequences that will deter him from misbehaving in the future. So when your child is struggling with a specific behavioral issue, then create a clear plan for how you can use praise to encourage good behavior. So I know it's not easy. You need to think about it, actually. You can't just overnight, you know, start saying these things, change the way you do things. But, you know, think about it. For example, if he hits his brother when he's angry, then invest your energy into praising him for using kind words, gentle touches, and problem-solving skills. So, you know, please sit down. If you don't know how to do it, I really don't expect you all to do it because we're all the same. When I was reading about this and I realized, you know, we all do it. We're so quick to scream at our children and yell at them and shout at them. And we don't look at some of the good that our little ones are doing. We overlook that and we'll be busy concentrating on the one that is always naughty and giving him all the attention. When really what we need to be doing is, our attention should be on that little ones that are actually behaving, and you'll be surprised how we can actually change the whole atmosphere in that room when we do that, inshallah. I hope it'll help you. It's not easy, but it's something worth trying. So the next time, inshallah, your children are, you know, being really naughty and misbehaving, and I know the holidays are coming up, and many of the parents are going to be pulling their hair out and hoping they can get back to school soon. But really, you can make a difference. So just try these, you know, some of these tactics, and inshallah, it will make a difference. Okay, so that's it. When we return, inshallah, we'll be talking to Sister Nazia Siddiqui from the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center. Today, we're talking about something called synthetic dhaha. Interesting. I know Sister Nazia always comes up with, you know, things that we don't even know about. But it's wonderful to be educated and made aware, inshallah. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your sister Zeenat, and right, this segment is called Drug Talk. And with me in the studio is Sister Nazia Siddiqui from the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here from Linasia. Sister Nazia, as you know, is our outreach program coordinator. We also have Kian, who is a volunteer and is sitting in on this program today. Thank you so much for coming in, Kian. Okay, so Sister Nazia, like I said, is our outreach program coordinator. We've been doing many programs throughout the year, alhamdulillah, you know, educating and making our listeners aware of what, you know, all about drugs and alcohol and you name it. We've been talking about a lot of things, inshallah. I hope it has benefited our listeners. And, you know, we're almost coming to the end of the year, so that means that we may have to take a little break during the month, yeah, you know, December. But hopefully we will be back next year again to do more. But we're talking about something very interesting today. It's, I think, very current, and Sister Nazia will be giving us a lot of details with regards to this. It's called synthetic dhaha. Apparently, it's a drug that's been making its rounds among the youth, and it's also known as K2 Spice. My God, the name itself. Where did I get that name from?
Jazakallah so much, Sister Zeenat. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the Radio Islam listeners. It's a pleasure to be in your space again. Every month I come and scare you with new information because the drug trends change monthly. If you can remember last month, we spoke about Leem, where a cough mixture was being mixed with soft drinks such as Sprite and that. And we dealt with that. And just as that shockwave hit with many parents and callers saying, you know, we didn't even know this was a thing. Can they do this? We were confronted with the legalization of dhaha shortly after that. Or before the show, rather, and subsequent to that, everyone received the videos of this youngster in Pretoria who was, you know, high or tripping on something called synthetic dhaha, or known as K2 Spice. So that is what we will be scaring you about today.
Okay, so what? I mean, it's not something to laugh about, really, but, you know, it's amazing what comes up. Every month we come up with something new. Anyway, what is, you know, this thing called K2 Spice? And, you know, how is it different from normal weed, for that matter?
Okay, so Sister Zeenat, K2 Spice actually originates from in the United Kingdom and the United States. It's trending there at the moment and was for a good few years. Synthetic marijuana is an unnatural concoction of harmful chemicals developed to reproduce a weed high. So basically what you're looking at is a group of herbs or a mixture of herbs that is treated with chemicals that mimics the high of dhaha. It's not only bogus, but it is also dangerous. Medically, it's referred to as synthetic cannabinoids. So if the listeners want to look it up, it's referred to as a synthetic cannabinoid sprayed with synthetic chemicals, which are sprayed onto the dry matter of the plant. So if I can, you know, paint a picture of you, imagine tea bags, right, or the tea leaves, and mix it with a little bit of grass, dried out grass. They spray that up, right, and that's exactly what they treat it with, the synthetic form of the cannabinoid, which reproduces a high that is similar to dhaha, but it is not. It's actually very dangerous. And the difference, you know, between dhaka and synthetic cannabinoids is this is coated with synthetic cannabinoids. These are herbs that are coated with, whereas dhaka is the actual plant that produces the chemical THC.
Okay. So how would they actually be, you know, taking this in? In what form do they normally take it in?
This is something that can be taken in just like dhaka. So what they would do is they would smoke it, okay, and brace yourself. Do you know how we burn agarbatti and incense mm-hmm. in the house? They burn it as potpourri as well. So because the smoke can be inhaled and the chemical can be inhaled and it still can be processed, just like when you smoke it, you know, in the form of a cigarette, they actually burn it as potpourri. They also can roll it and smoke it, and they vape it. Synthetic cannabinoids have been vaped, and I think we covered this in our show on vaping and e-cigarettes. With the increase in popularity, as we know, everything has to innovate. They now processed it, so it was a synthetic form of marijuana, which was liquid in a liquid form that is being vaped. And this has been going on for a long time. So it has actually been, synthetic cannabinoids have been around, but just that after the legalization of dhaka, we seeing an increase, especially in Pretoria and Krugersdorp, there have been increased cases in youngsters, especially under the age of 18, who are using the stuff.
My goodness me. Now, if this drug is so bad, we're going to talk more about how bad it is really, but I believe it is a bad drug. You know, what do people like about it? I mean, that's, I don't know, to me it looks like leaves, and why would you want to do a thing like that?
Sister Zenit, it all boils down to the fact that people are addicted to the high. So dhaka, the plant, the chemical marijuana, produces a chemical called THC, tetrahydrocannabinol. This is the chemical that causes the high. When people get addicted to that, they look for any and all substitutes or something that comes closest to it. But remember what we said in our very first show on dhaka, that if somebody uses, the first time they smoke, it's the best high they've ever had. The next time, it takes two joints instead of one joint to get the high. And then they build up tolerance, so they need more and more of it. So when something like this comes up, people like to try new things. So they will experiment, especially the youngsters. The other thing is that the packaging, I don't know if you saw on the videos that were going around, the packaging is foil. It's purple and pink. It's like your very catchy colors. And it's written on there, spice. So it's also very appealing to the eye. And if youngsters who buy sherbets, you know, these rocket sherbets and that, if they look at the Kool-Aid packets, it's similar to that. It's foil and it's attractive. And they want to experiment. Like I said, it mimics a high of dhaka. So they want to feel, what is the difference between spice and dhaka?
Okay, so how prevalent is this K2 spice in South Africa? Now, we've heard about this in Pretoria, happening in Pretoria, and now you mentioned the one in you also mentioned Krugersdorp. But in South Africa, really, how prevalent is it?
It is gaining popularity. It is absolutely gaining popularity. I think just because of the video that went around, it heightened the awareness around it, but it has been prevalent in South Africa with manufacturers getting away with selling it for the last 10 years already. And it has been quite popular. Recently, we have 13 people that included young adults and scholars that were hospitalized since this report was published. And this report was actually published on the 31st of October. So this is very recent. And with it gaining as much popularity, it's only a matter of time before we see youngsters going into full-blown psychosis because of using this. As you know, young people's minds are underdeveloped. The brain is still underdeveloped. So when they experiment with psychoactive substances such as these, right, we see them going into psychosis. They develop psychological illnesses much sooner. We're also seeing people taking chances because of the legalization of dhaka under certain circumstances. They are taking advantage of the fact that youth believe dhaka is now legal. They don't care under what circumstances. So the prevalence is increasing because of the lack of knowledge and awareness.
Okay. I think it's important for us to understand, you know, what it is, as parents especially. You know, we're not aware of these things, much as we, although we've been doing so many of these programs, but I think, you know, we still need to learn so much about it. Like you said, you know, every time you come here, there's something new coming up. So once again, we would like to look at, you know, some of the signs and symptoms that we as parents, as caregivers, you know, just basically everybody should be aware of.
So, Sister Zenith, when we spoke about Daha, we spoke about red eyes being a sign and symptom, a dry mouth. You'll see this person is slow to react when you speak to them. You'll also see slurring of speech. Now, what we've found with K2 Spice is that it is that, but on a more, in a more violent kind of way. So you would see people having anxiety, for example. They'll be very anxious, very paranoid. You would see confusion, where they wouldn't know where they are, they would forget their name. I know that video was, you know, nearly everybody I've spoken to has received it. In the video, the young man couldn't even remember his name and surname. There was an officer trying to ask him his name, his surname, to get hold of his parents, but couldn't. So confusion, but heightened confusion, and hallucinations. They would be hallucinating or seeing things that are not there. Also, a rapid heart rate, okay, so their pulse rate would be elevated, they would be breathing very fast, vomiting, violent behavior. You cannot hold these people down. It would take four men to hold down the likes of a 14-year-old boy that we saw in the video. Also, kidney damage and seizures. Remember, it raises the body temperature, and once the body temperature gets raised, it puts that person at risk of having a fit or a seizure. So these are signs and symptoms that we need to look out for. Also, understand that boys and girls, you know, youngsters, are looking out, they're going out looking for Daha, for example. And these dealers take advantage of the fact that these kids don't even know, you know, what's the difference between real stuff and fake stuff. So they would sell it to them at the price that they would sell normal Daha for, knowing full and well this is much cheaper because it's cheaply made. I would even describe it as, you know, spraying insecticide on tea leaves and selling that, and these children will buy it thinking it's Daha.
Okay, so you, like you said, I was just thinking of asking you about the cost. You know, more or less, can you give us an idea as to how cheap these things are? Just for, you know, for parents to know, you know, check on your children, find out where they are spending their money on. So, you know, how much more or less would you think, or would you think it costs?
I would say it's in the region. It starts off in the region from 15 rand going upwards. It would be very cheap and very available, because remember, the target market is the youth. So for the, in order to make it accessible for the youth, they would start their prices around 15 to 20 rand for a hit. And it would go up from there, depending on the quality, depending on the amount, how much you want, because they don't just sell it in small hits. It's sold according to different amounts of grams.
Okay. We'll take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we continue talking about this, you know, this drug called synthetic Daha, or synthetic, I don't know what other name. Oh, the K2 Spice, that's it, what's it called also. Anyway, if you have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to call us. The number to dial 011-854-1548, or you can SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-8492-786. I know this is something that can be very scary, but really, if you want to stay anonymous, not a problem, but please call in. You know, Sister Nazia is here, and she would be able to give us some of the answers that you would like to know, or, you know, if you want to, please just call in. It's important for us to know about these things, so please, if you do want to know something, obviously we will give you the number at the end of the program too, but if you want to, call in. We'll take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we will continue. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zenith. And we're talking drug today. And Sister Nazia Saleji from the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center is here from Indonesia. Alhamdulillah, we also have Ken, who is sitting in. He's a volunteer, and we're discussing synthetic Daha. It's a drug that's been making its rounds among the youth. It's also known as K2 Spice, And it's something that's happening currently. So Sister Nazia is just giving us a little of information with regards to that. So Sister Nazia, you know, where does this thing come from? Where does it come from?
Sister Zenit, spice actually was first sold as a recreational drug in 2004 in the United Kingdom. And by 2006, it started to take hold of the market as a brand name, spice, along with another brand called K2. So that is why they call it K2 Spice. When it first came out, people sold it or branded it as spice. And then that became the generic term, K2 Spice. At first, people believed it was simply a mixture of harmless herbs that had a similar effect to marijuana, so it was legally sold all over the world, especially via the internet. It's also attractively packaged, like we said, in small colorful sachets and generally marketed as herbal smoking tobacco substitute or incense. The packaging had a kind of a 60s summer love feel, which gave it like a sweetie, you know, like it's harmless. The product itself looks very much like herbal tobacco or even potpourri. In fact, spice is often sold as potpourri, room deodorizer or incense. In an attempt, right, to basically make it look like an innocent product that can be used for scenting rooms and will usually have the warning not for human consumption on the packet. So this was just a marketing strategy to ward off legal threats. And consumers, through the grapevine, they knew perfectly well that they were buying something intended to be smoked in a joint or a bong pipe. So, can you see the marketing strategy that was used? Like, they're saying, no, we just manufactured this because it's an incense, but people knew that this is an incense that can be smoked in a joint or as part of a bong pipe, which is something they use to smoke dacha.
Mm-hmm. My goodness, I mean, if you really think of it, it's so dangerous, you know, a person not knowing or innocently would be buying something, especially for like a scenting thing that you said, you know, that you can use in your home, not realizing that you are actually getting addicted to this thing.
Absolutely, and it has psychotic, you know, it can produce psychotic episodes in a person. So sometimes you burn, you know, perhaps if you buy this now, thinking, ah, it's just a potpourri or something, and you burn it and you start feeling dizzy and you start feeling disorientated and you start, you know, you notice that your behavior or others' behavior starts changing. You need to be careful of these things that you are buying because if it's inhaled, it has an effect on the brain. And also, we need to think about our children. Being responsible for the amount of money you give children and holding them accountable for the way they spend that money. So you know, this is how you spent your money. Show me what you bought, you know. Because children having access to, for example, you know, finance, number one, being bored, that's another one, and I have the funds to do what I want, so let me try this. The other thing is, you know, in terms of awareness, children have access to the internet, which is the doorway to the rest of the world. You know, when people say, where do they get these ideas from? If you are leaving a child with a tablet, and this child is able to go on YouTube and view any video on any thread, and, you know, you're not even supervising what the child is watching, there are videos that are actually titled, Man Gets High and Jumps Off Building. Obviously, the child is going to click and see, you know, how is this man? And then in there, it's a joke. People are making fun of him,
yeah,
you know.
It's, you know, people, children especially, become so insensitive to these things.
Yes.
This, you know, it doesn't bother them anymore. They can live with anything they see.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so when you just evaluate that the title of the video, Man Gets High and Jumps Off Building, the kid wants to know, okay, but what does it mean when you get high? Now in the Google search bar, they're going, getting high. And then they click search. And then what comes up? They've got a whole lot of recipes on how to get high. So say, for instance, they say to you, get high using aerosol. Now they think, where am I going to find aerosol? Oh, yes, mommy has that spray in the bathroom, and that's an aerosol. Then they'll go into the bathroom, and the next thing you know, this child is using it. And you ask yourself, where did this child get the idea? If we are not going to streamline the information that the child is absorbing, you know, from a perspective, a parent's perspective, we are going to have a problem.
Okay, we have a call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah, shukr, yourself?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Please, you know, what you like.
I'd like to find out if a person we know you are as an addict, we think you still is, he has a lot of shaking, even the hands shake a lot. Mm-hmm. What is the sign? What does it mean?
Okay, so when they are shaking or they have tremors, the person will have to come in for an assessment to see whether indeed this person has stopped using drugs, because shaking or tremors could be a sign of withdrawal from a drug. It could also be a sign of a medical condition that came about as a result of or not linked to the drug abuse. So it would be best for you to take the person for an assessment to our center in order for us to establish whether or not they are off the drug, so we can see, is this a sign of withdrawal or is this a serious symptom of a medical problem?
Okay, so he has nothing really to do. For example, the person doesn't want to come in for an assessment. That's our problem.
Okay. In that case, you would have to have an intervention where all the family members speak to the person and explain to them the reason why they want them to get help. And not in a confrontational manner, but in a manner that they are going to be willing participants, because it works that much better. And to get the person to the center for the assessment is the key, because we don't keep people against their will. However, we do use a process where we speak to them to convince them that treatment is the best way to go, or else they will lose their minds and they will not be able to work or have a family or lead a normal life.
Okay, thanks so much.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, I think that's one of the problems these days. You know, much as you want to help a person, the thing is, the person themselves has to also meet you halfway, I think. You know, if the person wants help, then they need to also give you some indication that they need help, and you can then work together and get them for the help. But, you know, you do sometimes find people that point blank refuse help.
Absolutely, Sister Zenit. And that is the major challenge that families face. Whenever they come up to us, you know, even in our personal capacity, they say, we want to help this person, but he or she does not want to help themselves. How do we do it? And the therapy that is offered, the person has to be a willing participant in order for it to work. And I say to families, you know, don't ever retaliate. Don't ever force someone, to go to rehab. You know, if you want to contact the center, and we will give you tools to use in order to get that person to at least come for the assessment. Once they come for the assessment, the social worker uses, you know, his or her professional capacity to convince this person that, you know what, if you don't, you are throwing your life away, so allow us to help you. We are throwing you a lifeline. And that's better than saying, if you don't come to the center, we are going to disown you, and we are going to, you know, they feel a sense of rejection. And also, you're not dealing with your normal human being. You're dealing with someone who, if they've used for a long time, they've lost control over a lot of their emotions, over a lot of the way, you know, they handle their day-to-day tasks. So families must be wary of that.
I think it's very important for us to be aware of. Anyway, coming back to our program, and we're talking about synthetic dacha. You know, is it legal in South Africa?
So, Sister Zenit,
obviously it's so freely available, so maybe one would think that it is legal.
Remember that the ruling stated that dacha would be legal. However, when it comes to spice and the rest of it, it is not legal. And we need to clarify that any related products, we need to educate ourselves on the legalities. How do we use it? If somebody is caught with a foiled packet of potpourri, I mean, are you going to suspect that it is dacha? You're never going
Certainly
to.
Not. Mm-hmm.
So that is how they got around it, by selling it as incense, because they knew that it would never be legal. The fact that this 14-year-old learner was caught with, you know, he was under the influence of it, and it is being sold, people would have said that it is legal, but be careful how you use it. But it is actually becoming life-threatening, and it has led this learner and so many others to be hospitalized, so there's no way that it can be legal.
Mm-hmm. Is it addictive? And how addictive is it then?
It is extremely addictive due to the THC properties, or, you know, that mimics marijuana. It is extremely addictive. The other thing is that because it is so much more stronger than dacha, it is more highly addictive, and it has more...
Okay, we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah. I just wanted to know, a patient we know also, his lips is always dry. He says he's off it. fast. Why is his lips always so dry? Even if he drinks something, it's still like that. And he's constantly chewing also something in his mouth, but it's nothing real. What is that?
Okay, my advice to you would be to conduct a drug test. If the patient is adamant that I am not using something, then the best thing for you to do to verify that information is to say, okay, let's do a drug test. Because you can never look at someone and just say, you know what, your lips are dry, you're using, or you're chewing, you know, your cheeks. There's a drug associated with that kind of withdrawal. So the best way to do would be factually, and the factual way to go would be to conduct a drug test.
Okay, we're talking about how addictive it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it is extremely addictive. Okay, it has taken the medical and the scientific fraternity a long time to catch up because of the way it was being sold as incense. But there's general consensus today amongst health professionals and the government that synthetic marijuana is addictive. So people have started to, you know, educate, organizations have started to educate people and families, and also the Poison Control Center has had to intervene because it is a poison. Remember, I said mm-hmm. the warning on the packet says not for human consumption. So synthetic weed has become the second most abused drug in the United States high schools, according to the National Institute of Drug Abuse. So it is highly addictive, and soon we're going to see a lot of psychosis, especially with the legalization of Dhaka. Our young people who are using are developing psychological illnesses earlier in their lives.
Mm-hmm. So how can we protect ourselves?
Okay, this is a very tricky question. How do you protect yourself? Prevention is better than cure. The question is, why would you need to use it? You've got to ask yourself, if you're going to take it for short-term pain relief, what about the long-term psychological effects it has on you? So you will actually heal the pain for now, but in 2 to 3 years you develop bipolar mood disorder or schizophrenia or depression. You know, it gets worse. So I'm saying to you, prevention is better than cure. There are medical alternatives. There are, we don't, you know, say, don't, you know, don't go in there and tell people that, you know, if you're using it, there's something wrong with you. We're saying that just adopt the stance of prevention is better than cure. When it's related to psychosis, I mean, children, don't experiment. Educate your children. Have these conversations with them. And prevention.
Inshallah. Thank you so much for coming in to do this program with us and educating us once again, making us aware of what is happening out there in our schools and everywhere out there. So to our parents out there, please take note. And to our callers that called in, Jazakallahu Khair, and Jazakallahu Khair for both of you to come in. I hope you enjoyed the program, Kian. Well, thank you, Nazia. Inshallah, we hope to see you one more time for this year. Inshallah, next month.
Ameen. Thank you for having me in your space. Jazakallah so much.
That's it then from us, and thank you to our engineer. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.